You want to open up? The verse we're going to be looking at primarily today is going to be written out here for you on the board. It's Galatians 2:16. So we are First Family Church, and a church is a group of people who share some important beliefs about God, about who God is and about His will. And that group of people are committed to gathering together to regularly worship the Lord God according to His word, according to His commandments. And so the church is, it's not the building. We often refer to a building as a church, but the church is actually the people who are committed to unity in the words of Christ. And so this church, First Family Church, is made up of Christians. And Christians believe things, okay? We don't believe everything. We believe some very specific things. And so if you've been coming for a while to First Family to receive food, then you might have noticed the rectangular signs that are posted right there in the back of the room. They're situated in pairs. Each pair is saying the same thing, but in two different languages. One is in Latin, and the other one is in English. Now, these five sayings are called the five sola statements. We've got sola gratia, sola scriptura, sola fide, sola Christus, and soli Deo gloria. And so these five solas are a group of statements, of phrases, that are formed about 500 years ago in order to help people to understand the core of what a Christian needs to believe if indeed they are a Christian. 500 years ago, the church, mostly in Europe, was largely conducted in Latin. And so we display these sayings both in Latin and in English because we recognize that the history of God's church is very important. And we want to remember our connection to those believers who lived so many years before us, who believed the same things that we believe and teach today. And so the next five times that I'm going to be preaching here on Saturday mornings, it's my goal to cover each one of those five solas, to talk to you about what they mean, what they teach us about faith, and how they help us to understand what it means to trust the Lord as a Christian. Now, I know there's going to be a lot more that could be said about each of these five solas than I'm going to have time to teach you in 20 minutes. But hopefully these 20 minutes are going to be enough time to help you to understand the basic concept, to see why that concept is so important to a Christian, and then to show you also how these ideas come directly from the Scripture. The solas are not just the ideas and opinions of some guys who died 500 years ago. They are the things that God has taught us in His Word. And so let's begin by thinking of the word that's common between these five sola statements. And that word is sola. Now, I know I have many Spanish speakers here today. Can one of my Spanish speakers help me out? What do you think the word sola means in English? Anybody?
Alone.
Alone, okay? It means by itself or one and only. It means alone or by itself. And so today we're going to look at sola fide. Fide, again, is in the Latin language, and it means faith. So putting these terms together, the first of the five sola statements that we're going to examine is the statement sola fide, which means only faith, or faith alone, okay? So let's talk about faith, about why a Christian needs faith, and then we're going to look at why we need to take faith by itself. Why should fide be sola, okay? Faith is not something that only Christians have. I understand that. We all, human beings, all exercise faith. If you got in a car and drove here today, you had faith that when you turned the key, that spark and fuel and air were going to mix together to create combustion and was going to give you the power for that car to move from there to here. If you go to a store today and you pull some little rectangular paper things out of your pocket and you hand it over, that person behind the counter is going to have faith that that money stands for something, that it has some value, right? And it just looks like a piece of paper, but that paper represents something. And we all have faith that when I take that paper to a store, I can buy things with it, right? So everybody exercises faith, but we don't all have faith in the same thing. The kind of faith that sola fide is talking about is faith in a very specific thing. It is faith in the saving work of Jesus Christ. A Christian puts their faith in Jesus, believing that Jesus alone can save them. But the saying that we have hanging on the wall is not just fide, it is sola fide. It is faith alone. Now that means that when it comes to salvation of sinners, A Christian should believe that it is only the work of Jesus that saves us, and not some kind of mixture of our own works plus Jesus' works. Now, that might seem a little strange to some of you, because every other religion in the world could be summarized like this. You need to be saved, right? Every religion is trying to deal with the basic problem that we are all sinners, that we all have problems in our lives. We all need to be saved. Most religions in the world say, here is what you need to do to be saved. Here are rules you need to follow. Here are things you need to learn or things you need to do in order to show that you're not as wicked as everybody else. Do your best, hope that it is enough, and if it is enough, then you'll be saved. That describes the majority of the religions in the world. Have you seen that kind of belief in people? Have you heard people talking like that? Probably more than you realize, that is the way that people think about salvation. If you ask a person on the street, you say, do you believe that you're going to heaven? Most people are going to say, yes, I do believe I'm going to go to heaven. But if you dig a little bit deeper, if you ask them, okay, why do you think you're going to heaven? Why do you think when it comes to the judgment of God that you're going to be able to stand before a righteous God and he's going to say, you belong in this holy and perfect place? What gives you confidence that you're going to end up there and not in judgment? And they will very frequently say to you something like this, because I try to be a good person. I don't think I'm that bad. I do good things. I try to be kind. I forgive other people. So I think that what I have done that is good is going to outweigh the bad that I have done, and that's going to qualify me for heaven. But do you understand what people are saying when they say, I think I'm basically a good person? They're saying, I'm pretty sure that I've worked enough good in my life to deserve to be in heaven. And it's a very common way to think. If a person thinks this way, what is it that they're actually putting their faith in? They're actually putting their faith in their good works. Their own work is what they are believing is going to save them in the end. Now, I promise to show you that the five solas are not just the opinions of people, that they're statements that are built directly from what we are told in the Word of God, God's Holy Scripture. So let me read a passage of Scripture for you that shows you why the very common way of thinking about salvation that I just described is not the right way to think about salvation. This is found in Galatians. And in the book of Galatians, Paul is writing to a people, a church of people, who are starting to think in ways that the people today often think about salvation. They're starting to let their idea of the truth be corrupted. And they were making a dangerous mistake. And so Paul writes to them in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. He says, we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. And that's right up here on the whiteboard if you need to look at that and think about it a little more. That should be super clear to us. But if it is not, I think it will become super clear if I take a second and just define a couple of the terms that Paul uses here. Paul says that we know that the works of the law, meaning our obedience to the law of God, our following of the Lord's rules, we know that that does not justify us. The word justify has to do with justice. When we are finished with this life, we will have to stand before a holy God, a God who is perfectly righteous, who is absolutely good. And he will have the right to take into account all that we have done, all that we have thought, all that we have said, and he has the right to render a verdict about whether our life was holy or not. A final decision about whether we belong with him in his perfect heaven or whether we deserve to pay a penalty for breaking the laws that he has given to us in his word. And let me ask you, before we go any further, have you broken any of God's laws?
Yes.
Have you violated the law of Scripture? Have you lied? Have you taken anything that didn't belong to you? Have you hated people in your heart? Have you always showed honor to the God that has made you? We don't need a jury. We don't need to call any witnesses to the stands. You know it and I know it. And God certainly knows it. you have broken God's law, and so have I. And so God has a right, doesn't he? More than that, he has a responsibility as the holy judge to judge me and to judge you as guilty and to sentence us for the right punishment of our law breaking. Now listen to what the word of God says about man's righteousness. In the book of Job, the question is asked, can mortal man be in the right before God? Can a man be pure before his maker? The question is asked because the answer should be clear to us. We can't stand before God as righteous. We are not holy like he is holy. Psalm 143:2 says, enter not into judgment with your servant, for no one living is righteous before you. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. Romans 3:10 through 12 says, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks after God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, no, not even one. So the scripture is very clear on our guiltiness. The scripture is very clear that we are in real need of salvation. So if we're counting on our good works to convince God that we're righteous, aren't we fooling ourselves? Aren't we lying to ourselves about how good we are? Now, getting back to this passage in Galatians, what does the Apostle Paul so plainly say to us at the end of the verse? He says, by works of the law, no one will be justified. By the works of the law, by what we do, no one will be set right before God. And this is the dangerous part, friends. Because if you believe that your works will be enough to earn you a spot in heaven, then you're going to be very disappointed. You have put your faith in the wrong thing. Because there's nothing you can do that is right as long as you are wrong with God. Once you have broken his law, you are an enemy to heaven. So if we can only experience the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ, that means that in order to gain the benefits and the blessings of salvation and forgiveness, we have to trust in one thing. We have to trust in fide and faith alone. The work of Jesus is what saves us, not our own work. You see, I can't do enough good to stand before God with a clean conscience. I can't bury my own sins deep enough in the ground that a God who knows and sees all things will one day forget about them. But there is hope for me, because even though I could not stand before God as a righteous person, because I'm not righteous, someone else came to do that in my place. It says, so we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Jesus was more than a man. He was God who came and took on human flesh, born without sin, so that he could live his entire life in obedience to the law of God. And that is exactly what Jesus did. Even though he was tempted in every way that you and I are tempted in, Jesus never went against the commands of God. He was obedient to the very end. And so at the end of his life, when Jesus allowed himself to be put before corrupt judges, when he allowed wicked men who all deserve to be condemned to condemn him and to execute him as if he was a sinner, Jesus wasn't going to the cross to pay for his own sins. He was going to the cross to pay for the sins of everyone who had put their faith and trust in him. He was paying for the sins of Christians. He was suffering in the place of those who would trust him and love him. And by suffering for them, his perfect work was credited to them. A Christian whose faith is not in their own works, but only in the works of Jesus Christ, is standing right now as a justified person, as someone who is declared righteous, because Jesus can say with a clear conscience, I have paid the penalty of their sins. They don't owe you anything. Now, if you believe that salvation comes from faith plus something else, then you are taking a big step away from what God says in his word. You are saying that God's power alone is not enough to save. You are saying that when Jesus died on the cross and rose again on the third day, that our salvation was not finished, that it was only begun by Jesus. and that we have to somehow finish it up with our own righteous good works. But how does Jesus describe his saving work on the cross? He says in John 19:30, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. Jesus describes his work as a complete work because it wasn't necessary for anything else to be done to pay for the sins of those who would trust in him. He had paid the full penalty for the sins of his people. And when Jesus rose on the third day, his resurrection proved that he was worthy to pay that price for us. The work is finished and there is nothing to add to it. But if you reject sola fide, if you cannot say amen to the belief that we are saved by faith alone, then you believe you have something to be proud about. Whatever part it is that you believe you've contributed to your salvation is a piece that you might then rightfully deserve credit for. But that's not the gospel that you're going to read about in the Word. And it's not the gospel that you're going to hear preached about here at First Family Church. Because the gospel, according to the scriptures, is good news for this reason. The salvation we wish we could earn is a salvation that we could never afford. But God in his mercy paid the great price for us by suffering in our place. We don't have to earn salvation because Jesus already has. And when we put our faith and trust in him, we're admitting that we can't save ourselves. We're admitting that there's nothing we could do to change God's mind about our sin. But we're also admitting that Jesus is mighty enough to conquer our sins. Now, I assure you that the law of God is still important. The works that we do in obedience to the law is still important as well. Obedience to the law has nothing to do with saving us, but obedience to the law is how a saved person responds to the gift of grace. If you've received the wonderful mercy from God, then you're certainly going to want to do the good works that God's law tells us to do. And by the power of God, you'll now be able to do those good works. But until your faith is firmly placed in the person and the work of Jesus Christ alone, then the very best works you could manage to do will not make you right before God. Justification is a work that only Jesus can accomplish. And so let us put our faith in him alone. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Mighty God, if you had not sent your son Jesus to pay the penalty that we could not afford, then we would be dead in our sins. There would be no hope for us. But Father, we praise God for sola fide, that you have saved us according to faith alone, that we don't have a work that we need to do to show you that we're worthy. Father, you have already made it clear to us that we are not worthy, but our salvation is not a reward for our faithfulness. It is a gift that is given by a faithful God. And so help us, Lord God, to not let anyone convince us that our faith is dependent upon ourselves or upon our righteousness, Lord. It rests in your hands alone. And even that faith is a gift from you. It's not something that we muster up on our own strength. It's not something that only the wise and the smart can figure out. Faith is a gift that you give to sinners that changes their heart and makes them love you when we used to disobey you. And so we praise you for sola fide. And we ask that as we learn about these other sola statements, God, that you would help us to understand exactly what it is that Christians believe about salvation. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.